Herzlich willkommen zu Skandal Alleingeburt, deine Plattform für echte, ehrliche und authentische Geburtserfahrungen außerhalb des Systems, die ganz klar beweisen, dass Alleingeburt kein Skandal ist, sondern der Inbegriff von Verantwortungsbewusstsein, Urvertrauen und Verbundenheit. Mein Name ist Tina Richter, ich bin Geburtshüterin und absolute Befürworterin von selbstbestimmten interventionsfreien Geburten. So schön, dass du den Weg hierher gefunden hast. Und jetzt lass dich inspirieren. Herzlich willkommen an euch zu Hause. A very warm welcome to all the English-speaking listeners today. Die heutige Folge werde ich auf Englisch aufnehmen, weil mein Gast Evelina aus Finnland kommt. Sie spricht zwar sehr gut Deutsch, aber fühlt sich ein bisschen wohler, die Geschichte auf Englisch zu teilen. Und damit ihre finnische Community die Geschichte auch hören darf, haben wir entschieden, die Folge heute auf Englisch aufzunehmen. Ich hoffe, ihr habt trotzdem Lust, euch darauf einzulassen. So, I'm super happy to give Evelina the chance to share her story today. It's a very special, well, every story obviously is very special. But this one is special because Evelina just recently, very, very recently, had a free birth with her third daughter. After her second daughter passed away very, very shortly after the birth. And yeah, I'm extremely grateful that Evelina is open to share this story with everyone because everything is possible. And a little spoiler, next episode, Evelina's partner, Christian, is going to share his perspective on this whole story that they both went through. And I'm very happy that we're going to have a male perspective on this too. But for now, I'm super happy to welcome you, Evelina.
Yeah, thanks, Tina, for inviting me. Hello, everybody. It's really exciting to be here and to share my story. And yeah, my free birth was in 1 month ago, and it was my third birth, and it was a dream come true. And yeah, really happy to share that and story that was before my free birth, because a lot happened before that.
And little Lily, maybe you can hear her. She's with Evelina. And maybe yes. Sometimes you can hear her, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I guess I want to start from when I met my husband 8 years ago. And it happened to be in Germany. I was there studying and working, and we met. It was the greatest love story of my life. And it we fell in love, like, it was crazy, I could say. And yeah, we fell in love in springtime in Hamburg, and then we spent 1 year in different countries. I was in Finland and he was in Germany. And when he moved to Finland next year, we already started talking about children, and we started talking about a baby, and I really wanted to have a baby. And then we decided to already let her come when she wants to come. But it was much more harder than we thought, or than I thought. It took us 2.5 years to conceive. And it was really a difficult time to time, not always, but it was surprising how hard it was to get pregnant. And because we always hear the story that you can get pregnant any time, and mm-hmm. it's really like always remember the feel and everything like that. So yeah, when I finally got pregnant, of course it was great news, but also it took a lot of time to kind of get over the experience of not getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. But the pregnancy went well, and I was really in good condition, and I really enjoyed it, and there was no problems in it, and it was just a normal pregnancy with normal prenatal care in the system. And then it was just 1 month before my birth that I've heard about natural birth and hypnobirthing and stuff like that, but it was all really new to me still. But I had 1 month time, and I studied as much as I could about natural birth, and it was like unmedicated birth in the hospital at that time, as I understood it. And I got what I wanted at that time. It was an easy and fast birth. It was in the hospital, and there was no medication. And I've heard about home birth like maybe two weeks before my birth, but it was an idea that I could not have imagined for me at that time. So it was really normal for us to go to the hospital. And at first I was really excited about the birth. It was like really fast and so easy and so wonderful. And it took me some time to kind of realize it was not natural at all. Mm-hmm. And also the mothering was really difficult for me in the beginning. Somehow I felt that the birth was too easy, so I had to struggle with mothering after it. Kind of some kind of punishment. It was a really stupid thought, but breastfeeding was really difficult for me, and I didn't manage to feed her. And so after 1 week, we took the formula, and then after 2 months or so, the breastfeeding stopped completely. So I felt really a lot of grief and sadness about that. And somehow, when my baby was around 9 months, I found more information about natural birth and natural health, and like everything that was really new to me. But like, you don't have to take medication for everything, or you can let your body heal by itself and encourage that, and somehow the power of thought and everything like that. I started digging deep into that, and it completely changed my life. And then somehow from that on, I found free birth. I don't know, it was around when my daughter was around one and a half years. I found free birth, and it was like, whoa, I've never heard of this, but it was like the light bubble over my head, like, wow, you can really do it like this.
Mm-hmm. Meaning you can do it all by yourself without yeah. any medical provider.
Yeah, you can just do it at home mm-hmm. alone, basically. And you don't have to go to the prenatal care in the system if you don't want to, and everything like that. And at that time, me and my husband were like, okay, if the next baby wants to come, she can come. And it was literally like 2 weeks after that I was pregnant.
Wow.
And it was amazing, because I had the connection with my body was completely different. So I felt the baby's presence all the time. And I was like, what is going on? I feel that someone is with me in the toilet. For example, it was really weird. I was like, okay, I'm either pregnant or I'm going crazy. But I didn't want to take any pregnancy test, because I already knew that I want to have a wild pregnancy. And So I really wanted to also like really practice to dig deep into my body and my like my inner wisdom somehow. So maybe in a couple of days after my period should have started, I knew that I was pregnant. And then then I told my husband one morning that, you know, I'm pregnant. And then he was like, "Ah, how do you know? Or do you just know it?" And I was like, "Yeah, I just know it." And yeah, that pregnancy was really, I enjoyed every minute of it. It was like, I didn't have any appointments. I didn't have any ultrasounds. I was just so deep in my body and in my mind and body connection and instinct. And I was planning to have a free birth at my home where the baby was conceived. And it was an amazing thought. I really loved the thought to give birth in the bed where the baby was conceived. And so we didn't have any kind of following or any kind of screening or anything. So it was really surprising when I started feeling weird sensations and like that when I was about around 30 weeks pregnant. So around about 7 months. And it lasted for a few days and I was like, no, this can't be the birth yet. It's really, really early. But then I was already so in kind of feeling really unwell and a bit painful that I walked into the birth hospital that's right next to us almost. And there they saw that the labor had started and it was quite far already. And I think I was in some kind of shock at that time. So I just said yes to everything. They wanted to take an ultrasound and they did. And then first I was relieved to really want to see how my baby is doing because I had some suspicions that now everything is not okay right now. So when they did the ultrasound, they saw that the baby was really ill and really not normal. And then immediately started pushing me to C-section, which I didn't want to have because it was really, really, really confusing when I had prepared for a free birth and not once had I been in a hospital with this pregnancy. And I was really trying to get back home because at that moment I knew that if she's going to be born, I want to do it at home, but it was not possible for me to get back home. I was already like, they took my clothes and put hospital gown on and stopped putting needles on me. And I was like, what are you doing? And what are you putting in me? And what is this medication? What is that? And what is that? And yeah. So after I had fought with them for about maybe 1 hour, then I said yes to the surgery. And then we went to the surgery. And then I realized that I have to call my husband.
Yeah, I just had the thought, like, if your partner had been there or not.
Yeah, no, he was out with my daughter, with our daughter. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I have to call him. The baby's going to be born right away. So he took our daughter to his sister and then came to the hospital. He was there, like, just when the baby was born. So then they took the baby to emergency room and tried to do everything. And then my husband was there and got to hold the baby. And she was alive at that time. And they could look each other in the eye. And then they said that there's nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. So they asked me if they can bring the baby to me, and I was like, of course. So they brought the baby to me, and I got to put, they put her on my breast, and I got her on my breast, and I heard her breathing, and I saw her. And then maybe after 15 minutes or maybe half an hour, she took her last breath on me, and then she was gone. So that was the I don't know, the moment that our life changed completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that you had to go through that. But I'm at the same time very happy for you that you at least got to hold her and be with her, you know, until she passed away.
Yeah, that was really beautiful that I had the chance. And also it was really clear to me from the beginning, like immediately I realized that the wild pregnancy was the best thing ever. Mm. It was so meant to be that way. It was like the best thing because we didn't know anything, and there also wasn't anything that could have been done. So it was the best thing that I could enjoy the whole pregnancy, and I really felt the baby's presence so strong all the time. And it was a really beautiful experience for me, that pregnancy, and it was some kind of initiation for my work and for this third birth, my free birth. And even though it was really sad and still is, but it was somehow, yeah, I knew really soon that there was a purpose to all of that. Yeah. So that was our second daughter, Hilma, angel baby. Yeah. So after that experience, I took some time off from all of my jobs, and I had two jobs at that time, and I quit everything, and I just stayed at home with our daughter, who was 2 years at that time, and I had time to think about everything and clear everything up. And that's when I realized that I wanted to start this free birth movement in Finland also. So I started Free Birth Finland, which is like my company, but also community and women's community, birthing community in Finland, but also not just about birth. But yeah, it was like I realized that this was my calling, and this angel baby brought me to my calling, mm-hmm. and to this work, life's work. And yeah, then it was 1 year after the birth and death of our second baby that I got pregnant again. And I was so impatient. I would have wanted to get pregnant right away after the birth, but because it was a surgery, it would have not been a good idea to get pregnant right away. So we waited maybe 6 months, and then we started to, but then we didn't use any contraception anymore, and let the baby come when she comes, and then she wanted to come that time. So in October 2021, I found out that I'm pregnant again. It was the best thing. I took a pregnancy test that time because I had done those a few times already. I was so eager to get pregnant. So just out of the blue, I took the test and I was pregnant, and I was, oh, wow. But like last time, my wild pregnancy was so easy. I didn't have to think about anything. I just was pregnant and there was nothing I had to worry about. And this time there was so much to think about. And we had decided that we don't take any testing or any gene testing or anything like that to find out what was wrong with our baby. And if it's like, what's the word? if it like could come again or if it would be really so we had to really think about, I had a thought about going to an ultrasound a few times just because I just wanted to find out if everything is okay. Mm-hmm. But every time just I let a few days pass and then I didn't want to go anymore. And also when I was week 30, 31 passed, then it was also a relief because the last baby was born at that week. And then I thought, okay, maybe she is healthy because she's not born yet. And there was worry and stress in this pregnancy. But still I was so I really wanted to have my wild pregnancy and the free birth.
And how was it for your partner? Also in the second pregnancy that you had?
Sure.
Like, was he totally fine with you having the wild pregnancy and also after the birth and death of your second baby girl?
Yeah, the first time around he was really on board and he was like really supporting me in my decision, and it was really obvious to us that I make the decisions about my body and my pregnancy and my baby, so it was really easy and he's always really supportive. The second wild pregnancy after the death was a bit more difficult. We had some different thoughts about if we should check that up or not, but then we also always talked and got to the same page on mm-hmm. on what to do, so there was no, like, it was not hard for us to get through those weeks, but there was more discussion about what to do. But then I was so convinced that it was easy for him to trust me in that too. But before the second pregnancy, he would have wanted to check the tests, but that was maybe like the first time in our lives that we had not the same opinion about something. Mm-hmm. So it was also a really good experience for us to go through that kind of thing, that we are not so like-minded about it. Maybe we had already like figured that out before the pregnancy, so we didn't have to worry about that mm-hmm. when I was pregnant again. So yeah, before the pregnancy I graduated from the Radical Birthkeeper School, and I had basically got so much information about birth that I ever could. So I was really trusting in the free birth, and I knew that that's what I want. And last time I had really thought about having a doula here at home, but I really hadn't made the decision before she was already born. But this time I knew that I don't want anyone here. So,
and did you communicate about that with your family, let's say your parents or friends? How about that?
Yeah, everyone knew that because I was so public. Also, I had done my podcast in Finland and published the many, many birth stories, free birth and home birth, and everyone knew my plans.
All right.
I didn't even try to hide them. And my parents already knew from the last time that I want to have a free birth. Mm-hmm. So they were quite fine with it. And I told them that I have a midwife who can come if there's something, if I want her to come. And it was true.
I was just wondering, was it true?
Yeah, it was true. I had this friend, midwife, who also did my paperwork here. Mm. So I had her, but I knew that I'm not going to call her, but it was just something I told my parents that they could relax a bit.
Okay.
But yeah, should I already go to the birth? The free birth?
I don't know. Is there anything? Let me think.
Yeah.
Yeah, for now, just go there and receive.
Yeah, there would be so much to tell about the journey, but also somehow really.
If there's anything you feel you would like to share or is important to the path, then feel free. We do have enough time.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just so weird experience to, it's so rare to have a death baby after wild pregnancy. Is really, really rare. And it also didn't have anything to do with the wild pregnancy. It was not because of the wild pregnancy or because I didn't want to give birth in the hospital. It was just pure luck that she happened to be that sick. It feels like a destiny for our family, because it's so rare what happened. Mm-hmm. I feel like I had prepared for this free birth for so many years already, that I was like pregnant 2 times in a row, and there was this pregnancy but no baby, then the other pregnancy, and yeah, I have to say it wasn't easy to have another wild pregnancy after a loss. It really wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. It was a really, really like amazing work that I had to do with myself, because every day I had to go through this idea that should I get some external information about my pregnancy or not? And every time I realized that no, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing that can change any kind of outcome, I was basically prepared to go through that all
again.
Mm-hmm. And I just knew that there's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm. And also there's nothing the system can do, you know. If you go to the hospital and they may find out that something is wrong, like wrong quote, with your baby, then you know, what are they gonna do?
Yeah. So basically the second pregnancy, if they would have found out like week 12 already that she's sick and cannot survive, they would have not like straight, but they would have somehow suggested to terminate their pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's not what I would do in that situation. So yeah, basically I was prepared to go through that all again, but everyone around me were like, no, that's never gonna happen again, it's so rare and it's not gonna happen again, and you don't have to worry about it. And I also believed that like 99%, but there was always this possibility that it was somehow genetical and would have come again.
Yeah, and it might even be better to be prepared for that scenario, even though it might be extremely, like, chances might be extremely little.
Yeah. And also there was this surgery that I had. I had the, it was not an emergency C-section, but it was still, I don't know what's that in English, but it was really, not like a planned C-section, but this, mm-hmm. that is done really quickly. And it's cut like, not like vertical cut. So I also I was not scared, because I know that it would be, if I wanted to give birth vaginally, the chances are that to happen are like best at home, not in the hospital. So I didn't have any fear around that. But of course, I also, there was one thing I had to think about the birth, if the surgery would somehow affect the birth. But luckily it didn't, and I didn't, in the birth I didn't even have time to think about any kind of scars or any surgeries. Yeah, so
but because can I ask one thing, because you said, you know, it was quite the journey for you, like dealing with, I'm just gonna say fear, because I guess it was fear to some extent. Did you have any tools, or how did you handle that situation, or did you talk with other people, or?
Yeah. I talked with friends and other radical birth keepers, and Emily from Free Birth Society. I took some birth coaching from her and talked with my husband a lot. And yeah, somehow the second pregnancy also like brought to surface all the feelings that were in the when we had the loss. So I cried a lot and let a lot of emotions out, and yeah, I talked with friends and radical birth keeper friends, and so I had a lot of support. I had much more support than I had in my first pregnancy, and I also had learned to ask for support. And I had, after I started my community, I had found all the women around me and all the love and support, which I didn't have so much in the first wild pregnancy. So yeah, it was an amazing journey. I don't know if ever we have so good chance to really learn to trust ourselves and our bodies, and what a better way to prepare for a free birth than that kind of wild pregnancy. So I had, the whole time I had imagined that I give birth at night and my family will be asleep and I would be in the toilet, in the bathroom, just alone, and I wake them up after the baby is born. That was my, like, I don't know, it was not what I like had planned to vision, it just was what came into my mind. And I knew that it would be really short or really fast, because the birth of my first one was 4 hours. So I knew that this was going to be even faster. But it, somehow it lasted for weeks, because I had so many sensations already, like weeks before the birth. And I already started to think if it would happen like 38 weeks or something like that. But it was funny because the birth happened exactly at 40 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I also knew my due date or guest date or whatever. And it was that day. So it was really funny. So, yeah, there were already a couple of evenings that I thought that maybe this night she will be born. And also, yeah, this is funny because our daughter, right away when she heard that I was pregnant, she was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have a little brother.
Wow.
And she also had a name for the little brother. And so somehow all of us got used to the thought that it's gonna be a little brother and he has a name already. Yeah, it was so funny. But yeah, there were already a few evenings that I thought the birth would maybe start, but then it finally did. And I had a friend who was pregnant the same time. She also had a home birth. It was her second home birth. And she gave birth 2 days before I did. Mm-hmm. So when she gave birth, I was like, oh my God, I want to let it be my turn. It was, yeah, I felt so heavy and so... Oh, I just wanted to get to the birth already.
And your first daughter, was she born around her so-called due date?
Yeah, 3 days after that.
Okay.
So the evening when the birth started, we didn't know anything. We just went to bed in the evening, and I didn't know. I was just the whole week, it was a Wednesday or it was a Tuesday night. So that week I had been, like a few days, I had been like already in some bubble and my mind was not so clear anymore. And we saw some friends before the night, and my friend was like, oh, you sound like you're in some kind of birth bubble already.
Wow.
But I didn't have any, there were no stronger sensations that I had had for weeks already or many days at least. So we just went to bed, and then at night I woke up and it felt some sensations, and that also was not a sign for me yet, because I had had those already a few nights before. But then, yeah, I woke up at 1 o'clock or half past midnight, and started feeling those sensations, and I had to get out of bed, and I was in the kitchen and I was drinking water and something, and then I had to lean onto the table every time a sensation came, and then I started like giggling, oh yeah, it's really happening now, I really have to focus on these sensations. I was so happy, like, oh, finally, really joyful and just laughing. And they weren't painful at all, but they were just really intense, so that I had to, like, it helped me to lean on the table. And yeah, I was really happy. I had to empty my bowel in the toilet a few times, and then I was even more sure that this is going to be the birth night. And then I was still maybe 45 minutes in the bed. My husband was sleeping. I just hold his hand, and I didn't wake him up because I thought he can sleep as long as he can. I don't need him at this point. Then I went back to the toilet, and the sensations came stronger and stronger. Then I went back to bed, and I guess I started moaning at that point. And then I squeezed my husband's hand, and then he woke up, and we looked at each other and were smiling, and he knew, I didn't even have to say anything, he knew that, okay, now something is really going on. It was just as then a second sensation came, and we heard a pop like the first time. And the water broke, like everything came onto the bed, like everything, it went splashing. And I ran into the toilet, and he started to clean the bed. And I ran to the toilet, and I was sitting in the toilet seat, and I was like, oh my God, I feel like pushing already. So I started pushing because it felt really good. And I remembered from the hospital birth that I had with my first, I had to listen to the midwives, when can I push and when not. Mm. And it was really annoying. So I had decided that in my free birth, I will do exactly what my body tells me. So I pushed with the sensations, and it felt so good. And then it was like, there's no break at all in between. Can it be already that I can feel the head? So I really carefully tried, and I felt the head, and I was like, oh, it's coming already. At that time, I think my husband had come to the bathroom door and was just like looking at me, and I was just like, I was really loud, and I felt like I had leaned on the sink and sitting in the toilet, and it was so fast that there was nothing I could have asked him, or he didn't ask anything. He was just looking at me, and I don't know, he wasn't even touching me because it was so intense. I just wanted to, like, it was like I didn't need anyone present there. I felt like I was so in my body, and I didn't know anything that was happening around me. It was just me, and it would have been really disturbing to have someone to touch me or ask me anything. So he was perfect. He was just standing there next to me witnessing that happen. So I felt the head, then I, like, second sensation, then I already felt the ring of fires, like it was already burning. And I was like, oh my God, it's coming. Then I jumped to the shower floor on my knees and started helping the head to come out. I had my hands down there, and then the head came. Then the head was out. I was like, oh my God. And then I remember from the first time that the head was like the hardest part, and then the body just came. But this time the baby was a bit bigger, and I don't know what caused that, but I felt the shoulders really like stretch me. Like really the body came, like the shoulders came first and then came the body, and then the baby was there. And I was in, I don't know, I was like, I was just looking at my husband. Yeah, at some point when the head was coming out, I said to him, get the camera and take some photos. So he put the lights on and took some photos, and I didn't notice anything. I was just, it was like the baby was coming so fast that I didn't bother me at all. But yeah, the baby was out, and I was like in such, I didn't believe it. I was like, am I dreaming? I was like asking, is this true? Can this be true? And I was looking at the baby, and I was like, I didn't know anything. I was so, it was so like, it was such a long wait to get that baby, like to get the healthy baby in my arms. And I had just given birth alone in my bathroom in like less than 2 hours, basically. So it was, I don't know, I can't still, hard to describe the feeling. But yeah, I was so amazed that I didn't immediately notice that the baby had a cord around her neck. Mm-hmm. So then I noticed that. I was like, oh, I took that around her neck, away from her neck. And then she started crying. Then she was like, yeah, she was crying quite loudly. And I was really, really focused to look at her and see how she's doing. And then she was crying and crying, and you could see that she's clearing her lungs, but there was nothing to worry about. And she was crying, and I held her, and I could see that she was perfect and healthy, and it was amazing. So we were expecting the little brother, and then after maybe 10 minutes, I was like, oh yeah, and I checked, and it was a girl. Like, oh, it's a girl.
And how about your first daughter? Was she still asleep?
Yeah, she was sleeping. Yeah. So when I saw that she was a girl, yeah, that was maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and I started to feel the placenta. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just wanted it to come out. It was so fast, and placenta came as fast. So my husband brought a bowl to me, and then I just pushed the placenta out. So then I knew that the birth is over now, so the placenta is born, so you can wake the daughter, the older daughter up. And so he woke her up, and she came, and she was like, oh, it's a little sister. She was really interested in the placenta. She was like, is that the placenta? Is that the cord? And yeah, she was really wanted to like gently touch the baby, and really, really beautiful.
Did you talk with her about birth before?
Yeah. We talked about it a lot, and she knew that the baby was going to be born at home, and she was also always worried about the baby to fall on the floor, because I told her, or on the couch, because I told her I might give birth on the bed or on the couch or even on the floor. And she was always like, yeah, but you have to catch her so that she doesn't fall on the floor. And I was like, of course. And I did that. I took her like with my own hands, and it was like, couldn't have imagined anyone else to put their hands there. So it was just me and the baby. It was really beautiful. Also, my husband told me afterwards that he saw the sex right away, but he knew that I don't want anyone to tell that to me. So it was also really beautiful that I got to see that it was a girl.
Mm-hmm. To discover it yourself.
Yeah.
Wow, so it was
yeah. And I also knew, my guess was that she would be a girl. But then when our daughter talked about the little brother, so we all started talking about it, but somehow I knew that it's a girl. So yeah, then we went to the same bed, all of us, and the placenta was in the bowl, and the baby was feeding well, and my daughter was sleeping next to us, and my husband fell asleep maybe right away in the bed, and yeah, then we woke up in the morning, and oh, it was amazing. It was like, oh my God, I really did it. Can it be true? So amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how was the breastfeeding journey so far?
Yeah, it's been really great. Because I didn't manage to breastfeed my first daughter, I really wanted this to go well, and I knew that it will go well, because I knew I had realized what went wrong the last time, and I knew that there was nothing wrong with my body and with the baby. It just was the it was just this stress and not trusting my body that caused me not to be able to breastfeed. Also, after the second birth, the surgery, when we came home, my milk came. So it was really beautiful experience for me to see that my body is working really well and the milk comes, even though I didn't have any baby. So I knew that it's gonna go well. But still, the first days were exciting. And I'm really happy I got all the support that I have from other moms, because it was so encouraging. And it's nothing that the system can offer you. It's like, it's completely different when your close friends and other moms are supporting you and really telling you that you raise the baby, you birth her like at home alone, you're totally gonna feed her. There's nothing to worry about. So it really helped me. And I just, well, it's been 1 month and I still keep her on me 24/7, but I just kept her on skin to skin 24/7, and she was basically eating 24/7. So there was nothing to worry about. And she gained weight really, really, really fast.
Did you weigh her?
Yeah, when she was 2 days old, I had my friend midwife came here to us, and she wrote this birth certificate,
mm-hmm.
and then weighed her, and she was four kilos that time, so a little bit under 4 kilos, and she estimated that she had been over 4 kilos when she was born. She was good. Really, really good size. And then a week after that, I weighed her at our grandparents' place, and she was 4.5 kilos.
Mm.
So she had gained weight so fast that that was like sealed for me that I know my milk is enough. So it's been a really healing experience for me and my older daughter as well. And always when the baby is crying, the older daughter Ella is like, "She wants milk, mama, she wants milk." Almost putting my breast into her mouth, the baby's mouth, like, "Come on, now she needs the milk."
"Come on, mom, be faster."
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I'm also curious, because I mean, obviously at the Radical Breathkeeper School, we talk about the postpartum time so much and about support. And you talked about support of other women in your community, your circle.
Yeah.
And supporting you by, obviously by words and, you know, being there for you and like mentally holding you. But mm-hmm. how else did you, like, did you also ask them to support you somehow with food or?
Yeah. It was really nice because I had the, all that I have learned from Radical Birthkeeper School and everything that I had studied from natural birth and postpartum time. I really decided before this pregnancy even that this time I'm really going to ask directly and really going to plan the postpartum time. So when I had the, I had a mother's blessing ceremony in the end of my pregnancy, and the women that came and the women that could not be there but still wanted to support me, I started a Telegram group, and then I asked everyone to bring us food when the baby was born, and we got so much food left on our door, and someone came to took our daughter out in the park, and other friend took our dog for one week after the birth, and then others brought food, and yeah, that was really nice. So we really could focus on the baby and just resting, and of course when there's another child already in the family, there's, you can't just, the husband has to, or the dad has to spend some time with the daughter. So it was really beautiful that we had food prepared for us. And it's not gonna come like, if, well, some even brought food even when I didn't ask, but it's, you can't expect help if you don't ask for it. So it's not easy to like tell people, please, if you can, bring us food. But it was really nice to get that support from loving friends and then be able to give that back when the time comes that they are gonna need help. So that was really, really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And how in comparison has your postpartum time been with Ella, with your first child?
Yeah, completely different. And I have thought about it so much, like with some sadness also, how different it's been. It's like night and day. When the first time I had stressed about everything and I had to ask about everything, and I was calling the hospital and the prenatal care place like about everything, and then the breastfeeding, and I didn't sleep with the baby, she was sleeping in her own bed, and I was just so stressed about everything. And I knew that I'm gonna do everything completely different this time, and now I've been sleeping with the baby, just the two of us, and I've slept really well, and just carrying her around, and not like, if I want to stay inside the whole day, then I will stay. But now when the summer is, like, it's been really warm and beautiful, we've been outside, of course, every day, but I've been resting and taking my time to rest. And I guess it's hard to compare when you are like a completely different person already, but I know that it's how I trust my body and how I trust like the natural birth and natural mothering is really in a different level. So it's been really easy. It's just sad to think about the first time when it could have been even easier because there was no other baby that time. Mm-hmm. I could have really enjoyed that time, but I didn't know what I know now.
Yeah, I feel sometimes, I don't know if you agree, but then sometimes we need, you know, this kind of experience to grow, like to have this seed, you know, and then to grow out of it and to learn, because otherwise, if you would not have had this first experience, you would not have had this second or third experience.
Yeah. And how much I can appreciate this experience now after the first ones I've had. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's
been really important for me to grow and to understand a lot of things. So the hardest part in this one has been that we already have one child. I have so much appreciation to parents that have many children and that really like do it. But after the first week, this also got much easier, and like all of the family got used to this new situation and new baby. And I know that my most important task at this moment is to feed this baby and try to spend as much time with the older one as I can. But my husband's at home, so they can spend time together also. So it's been really nice.
What a luxury.
Yeah.
So have your husband home, being able to take care. We're choosing to take care of your older daughter.
Yeah. But I still just want to like walk around and tell everybody that I did it. And
well, here you just did it. And let's hope a lot of women and men, obviously, are going to listen to your story and how special it is and how to see your growth, you know?
And yeah.
That everyone, in the end, every woman can do it and can have that, but it needs a lot of trust, and it also needs a lot of work.
Yeah, and if you just look back at my story, you can see that everything is possible.
Exactly.
Even though my trust that with my first one was completely in the system and in the healthcare system and all the rules and all the guidance, that it's completely, as I see it now, is completely wrong. And now it's like completely the opposite. I just listen to myself and I only trust my body.
Aho. Yeah, so good. And do you feel complete, or is there anything that's still on your mind that wants to be said?
No, I think I'm really pleased with what I've shared. I don't know if I have anything to add.
Yes.
It was the best thing ever. Okay. And it was what I had somehow knew that is going to happen at night in the toilet all by myself, even though my husband did witness the birth. He was like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
At the birth.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up again, because I thought about it before, like, oh, actually it has been exactly how you envisioned it, but I forgot to mention it. Yeah, that's
It's funny.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so all like also the birth and death of Hilma, did I remember right? You said it was like the initiation for you to actually give birth of your professional, or to change your professional life and to give birth of the Free Birth Finland society, let's say, a community. And to work in this field and to support mothers in that field. And you also have a podcast and you do birth coaching, you do trauma debriefs, I assume in Finnish.
Yeah, it's all in Finnish. I've done some with English too. It's amazing to hear from women that like, after I found your podcast, I decided to free birth, and it's been the best experience in my life. And it's like, I can't believe I can do this work and really spread this knowledge.
And be part of this movement. I feel it's just
a
huge movement that is so necessary.
Yeah. And it's just for the woman who wants that. It doesn't have to be for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if you would like, at least for the Finnish-speaking women listening to this, to share your website, what's it called? Because I feel I couldn't with my German. It's like impossible to imagine how to pronounce it.
Yeah, it's vapaasynnytyssuomi.fi. And Instagram, you can find vapaasynnytyssuomi.
Yeah, and I will put it in the show notes. So everyone can find you, get in touch with you in English, in Finnish, even in German.
German.
Evelina does understand very good German and also speaks pretty well, but felt a little bit more comfortable to share in English today. Also so her community can listen to the story today, which I highly appreciate, and I hope they're going to listen to it.
Yeah, I bet. Everyone's waiting for the story. I'm really happy too that I got to share it in your podcast.
Yes. So thank you so much for being here, being so open, vulnerable, and share your story with the world.
Thank you, Tina.